Good morning. Still morning, sort of. Well, yeah, it's like 9:56, so it's not even 10 o'clock in the morning. It's later than I expected to be. And I can hear this thing tapping, so it's probably going to be a noisy recording today. I wonder if I can put it someplace where it doesn't tap. No, I can't. Oh, yes, I can. Clip it to my hat. There we go. Looks funny, but that's okay. There's not too many people out. It's cold. It's 28 degrees. I think I typed 38 degrees when I was typing it, but I'll fix it. Fix it in post. It's chilly. It's overcast, so it's not very sunny. Sun's not warming up the air today. It's kind of raw. And the reason I'm late is that I've been working. Working is a good thing, and I figured nobody would care if I was late if I have a good excuse like I was working. So yeah, rock on. Catching up on some social media stuff. I put a blog up on status report on Solar Clipper. I went in, I got a comment that I had to moderate, so I went in and found that there were 9 comments that I had to moderate. Can't keep up with it. One of the problems is that the comment notifications go to my durandus.com account, and that account gets 600, 700 messages a day, and only like 1 in 100 have any significance. Well, no, 1 in 20 have any significance. And usually it's something like a notification that I got a message somewhere else, or a copy of a message that I got from Gmail that went to my Durandus account for archiving. Something like that. So, over and above the spam, I get a few messages a day that are unique to that platform, and unfortunately I frequently miss them. So the scroll happens fast enough that if I look away, 5 pages come in by the time I look back. I don't always get down to the bottom of the 5th page. Also ran into a couple of instances where people were trying to get in touch with me and couldn't because I wasn't responding to emails because that was going to that account. So, yeah, there's a... I'm talking to Patrick Scafino about making a virtual appearance at Balticon. And that would be fun if we can make it work. My concern is bandwidth and the technology. Now last year, at the writing jam with Pam Gay, she was trying to patch in one of her NASA colleagues who was actually at a telescope in Hawaii doing actual NASA research. And so he couldn't come to Balticon that day because he had telescope time. He wasn't going to let that go by. I don't blame him. But we spent so much time fiddling around trying to make that technology work that, it really cut into writing time. It really cut into the panel. And I've seen it happen a couple of times now. So I warned Patrick. I said, I'm game, but you really need to have a heads up about this because this is what the problem is going to be. And it comes down to expense and bandwidth, because putting an internet connection into that room will cost about $600 for the day. Now that's a lot of money for what might be a 1 hour use or a 2 hour use. So if he's going to do it, he needs to have some way to justify that expense. And even then, he's not guaranteed that the connection is going to be stable enough for full bandwidth video. So it's kind of an issue. We have the technology on either end. It's the connector technology that's the problem. And I suggested he investigate something like a mobile hotspot, so that rather than connecting through the hotel, connects through somebody's phone. And I don't know if there is sufficient bandwidth in the connections available in Hunt Valley via a wireless phone, cell phone, to support that kind of activity. But if there is, that will open up a whole new range of opportunities for conference organizers and conference panelists. That's rather exciting, and I hope we managed to pull it off. So I was working a little bit with him this morning. I was sending off emails and thinking about that. I was also working on a website. A couple, three years ago, more than that now, is when I was working with the distance education at the University of Northern Colorado. I worked with a guy named John Hibbs in Oregon, who had organized an annual Global Learn Day, where every hour in every time zone around the globe for 24 hours, he would talk to and interview and talk with online and text chats mostly, because in those days text chats were like the best you could hope for. Although I guess there were some audio links. But the Global Learn Day was quite a to-do. It was quite a thing, because he found people in almost every time zone. There are a couple of time zones where there's like water, which makes it difficult. And a couple of time zones where there were people who were willing but who couldn't communicate either freely or in English fluently or whatever. So, yeah, it was an interesting challenge that he set himself every year, and he did it for like 15 years. And I remember working with him on Ben Franklin's 300th birthday celebration too. So yeah, there was this work that I did for him a long time ago, and I've worked him up through the grades so far. I've worked him up so that now he's pretty much maintaining his own sites and doing a good job. I got him, talked him through the process of getting a Bluehost account, and what he has to do now is clean out all of his other accounts and close them, because they're kind of milking his funds dry. But what happened was that he installed a template that didn't support the structure of his page, so he lost a whole ton of content. He lost all of the header image files that we had hand-built for that, and he couldn't find them. No, I haven't found them. But it's on a server where he doesn't have FTP access, or at least FTP access anymore. He might have at one time, because otherwise I don't know how we could have got this stuff up there. So he was missing some graphics, he was missing his layout was all wrong. It was kind of a mess, because instead of doing a live preview, he installed and overlaid the template in his WordPress blog. So apparently he's been trying to get in touch with me for over a week, and or 10 days even, and I never caught the messages. It's like, didn't see him. So when I was looking for Paul's messages, I found some of these, and he also sent me a little ping from the contact form on my website, which does go to an email account that I check on a regular basis. And so I spotted it, and I managed to build him a new banner. It's not the same as the old banner, but it's got the same elements in it. And rebuilt his website with a template that has the features in it that he wants, and not the features that he thought he was getting. The problem has to do with version control and the fact that his old template, and the template that he thought he was getting, went through a version downgrade, so that a lot of the features of the old version were disabled, because the template maker wanted you to download the new Ajax Ready, Spiffy Ready widget, woohoo, version. And it was still free, but it wasn't offered through the WordPress themes library. You had to go get it specially from their site, and you had to sign up for an account to download their free template, which is some brilliant marketing guy's idea on how to find out who your customers are. And so I didn't download, because I don't know if I can even get it installed, since I can't really do an upload. Although I think if I have the zip file, I think the new interface would let me do the zip file upload. Anyway, I didn't try it, because I didn't want to sign up for an account and give them my email address, even the one that has all the spam in it. So I got it running, I got all of his stuff back, and I got a rudimentary header up last night, and then this morning he had some more changes that he wanted. And so I got those changes in today. So, yeah, it felt good. It was like, okay, this is something I can do. This is work. It's sort of like working on my book, but not quite. It's also left me in a mood where, okay, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, what have you done? And then I found out that, no, actually, all the stuff was, most of the content, in fact, was still there. And there's one little bit that it doesn't seem to want to work. But it requires an outlink to bring back an external picture. And while if you use the link for the picture in an external browser, it works, if you put that link onto a page, it doesn't return anything. It just is blank. So I think it's something that either WordPress or the host is doing to prevent deep linking from other sites for graphical material. I'm not 100% sure. But it's just very weird, because it does work. The content is there. I checked the link. The link is correct. It just won't display on the page. And it's a group map. It's like, where are you from? And it shows a little world map with the little red dots on it. And the scale of it is so small that you can't really tell where anybody's from to begin with. It's just sort of a smudgy blur with some red splotches on it. So, I don't know. Anyway, got me in the mood to work. And so I've been working. Then I turned around and started working on Full Share again. Then I got an email message that said I needed this comment to be approved, and then I went to the comments and realized there were 9 of them, and then I realized I hadn't actually put up a New Year's message yet, so I did that, and by then it was like way past time to go for the walk, so I went for my walk. I do have one sick kid home today. She's got a fever, which is not good. There's a kid who's quite frequently sick, with air quotes, of school, more than anything, I think. But now today she's got a fever. She's feels hot to the touch, and a thermometer says she has a fever. So, you know, that's okay. That's good enough for me. You're sick. Stay home. We don't send kids with fevers to school, even though that's where she got the fever, I'm sure, whatever it is. I suspect she'll be out again tomorrow, but I'm not going to say that too loudly. We also had a good laugh last night. She's somewhat despondent over the state of the world. The level of commentary that she spots and spies on various sites like Tumblr and YouTube and the places that she tends to spend her time these days is demoralizing to her. We had a talk about the epidemic of ignorance and how so many people seem to not only be ignorant, but to actually revel and celebrate in their own ignorance. And yet that ignorance, and the awareness of it, doesn't stop them from commenting and making really illogical and usually pointless commentary on all and sundry. This sucks. That's so gay. Okay, fine. It's like, seriously? But, and there's so many people who do it, and it's boggling. It's just mind-boggling, and it's the breadth of the stupidity available in the U.S. Now, I'm up for a difference of opinion. I can accept a difference of opinion. Give me an opinion. This sucks is not an opinion. This sucks is just a statement of emotional response. You didn't like it for some reason, but we don't really know why. We don't really know how to judge, to ascertain what it is that you find about whatever it was to be so distasteful. And the gay thing is just totally ridiculous. That's so gay. So's Paris. What do you want? Well, you're gay. Oh, wound me. Wound me to the quick. I disagree with you, so you call me a homosexual. Really? And I'm supposed to be intimidated by your assessment of my sexuality? Seriously? And you think this has weight? So we had this conversation last night in the car, and she was just killing herself laughing. Because, I mean, a lot of it is funny when you think about it. A lot of it is really funny. It's really like, you got to be kidding me. You stand up in public, you take off your shirt, you paint your chest blue, you smear feces on your face, and you spout crap. And you wonder why people think you're an idiot. Seriously? Hello? And we're supposed to take you seriously? Seriously? Anyway. So, yeah. And then I watched Sir Ken Robinson's take on the epidemic of ADHD in the U.S. The best line of it. Because he has a map showing the incidence of prescriptions of ADHD-related drugs in the U.S. And it's very clear, at least at the time where he gathered his data, the closer you got to the East Coast, the more likely it was that you would be in a place where there was a relatively high incidence of ADHD. Now, geographically, that doesn't make sense. Because geographically, you have the same population densities on the West Coast as you do on the East Coast, but you don't see it on the West Coast. So it hasn't done anything to do with population density. You might argue that there's population density difference between the East Coast and the Midwest because of the way the people are living, but that's not showing up in the data. But it's still intriguing. It also argues that it's not really as an issue of ADHD as much as it is a level of weight that's paid to keeping kids in their seats and keeping them quiet. And the argument is made that it's much more prevalent on the East Coast, tight-ass Easterners, than it is in the wide open West. And I don't know if that's true either. But the layout of the data was pretty telling. This is where ADHD is being prescribed for, and it has not got anything approaching either a population density or a physiological sort of density. It's not some sort of environmental thing, because it starts, as he says, in Oklahoma, people start losing interest. And the audience laughs a great deal at that. And in Arkansas, you can't think clearly, and by the time you get to Washington, you've lost it altogether, which, delivered in Ken Robinson's accent, is quite delightful. So it's an interesting idea that education in particular, because of its economic and cultural DNA, because of what it's for, how it was developed, and why it has grown into the thing that it has grown into, why on the East Coast, with its very much more rigid cultural biases toward things like work ethic, being on time, paying attention, being focused, that's very much an Eastern and even an East Coast kind of thing. I noticed it when I lived in Maine. It was very much part of my upbringing, where I had to pay attention. I had to do good work. I had to do my work. I had to, you know, have all of these expectations. I had to be on time. And on time meant 10 minutes early. It didn't mean on time. It meant 10 minutes early, so that when the time came, everybody was all there and ready to go to work. And when I came to Colorado and realized that there was actually something called Colorado time, which was whatever time they say, 15 minutes later, people will start arriving. I've heard it applied to other portions of the country as well, but I can vouch for it being actually true here. It's very common that you have an appointment at 8 o'clock, you leave the house at 8 o'clock, and when you get there, you get there. So it's very strange. It's very unusual. I thought it was interesting. But I am back. I'm at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day, with any luck at all. I will talk to you then.